Okay, kids. Do something, would you? Got a great day for you. Don's going to take you over to my house. There's all kinds of weeds over there. And nothing. Why is nothing happening here on my screen? Let's see here. This is what happens when you go out of town. Everything around you falls apart. So it says Ministry Center. It says that I'm mirrored to the Ministry Center. So I don't think we want to watch movies, but apply the passcode. Here, enter the code. Okay, that's a secret code. And after...
Three. Nobody look.
Hey, look at that. It's a miracle. Mark is our techie guy around here, and he keeps the children in line as well, so we want to thank him for that. Hey, I just want to begin this morning by saying it's good to be back, but I also want to thank Billy Graham for his wonderful years of ministry. I don't know about any of you, but I was, yeah. If you watched any of the service yesterday, it was moving at several different parts in there, but I thank God for this man's life because... After my mom and dad, who I now refer to as my dad, met in church, they followed it up with a Billy Graham crusade. He happened to be in Los Angeles, and I can remember going to that crusade as a kid. And I can remember my mom and dad rededicating their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And next Sunday, we were in church. In fact, the next Sundays and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights for the rest of my life, we were in church. So I want to thank Billy Graham for his faithfulness. It is good to be back home. It really is good to be back home. Bed bugs and all, we're excited to sleep in our own bed, and it's just a delight. As you know, we went to Ethiopia, and God did some incredible, incredible things while we were there. Got a chance to go down to Dila, which is in the south of Ethiopia. I had not been down there before. Gus's good friend Worku is down there, and we took a flight down to Dila. Actually, we didn't get into Dila. We flew into Awassa. And then from Awassa, because of political unrest, we had an hour and a half commute from the airport on dirt roads to just get to Awassa. And then from Awassa to Dila was 3 hours of dirt roads. And I want to talk to you later on about that, Gus. I have some words I'd like to share with you about the trip down there. In a little Toyota Hotch van with 4 white people and 5 Ethiopians shoved in the van with our luggage, and it was a miracle we arrived. But we are delighted to get down there and to minister and to be down there. And then after that, we came back to Sandafa, and there we ministered to the church in Sandafa, which is now about 400 people, and they've started 5 churches, so that's exciting to see. The other good news is that not only have they started 5 churches, but the pastor who has started this church and then has helped start these other 5 churches needed a motorcycle. And you all chipped in, and we bought him a motorcycle. So he was delighted to be able to get on that thing and minister. So we ministered 2 days, I think it was, 3 days maybe in, what was it, 2 days? 2 days in Sandafa. And then 3 days in Altalu. And I did not get a chance to go to Altalu. We came home, Sandy and I, a couple of days early. But from what I understand, it was a great ministry there. They were just mobbed to get in there. No health care there at all, you know. So when you show up, that is the only thing that they have ever heard of. And so they come and they look for health care. And we were able to do that in a Muslim community and share the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was powerful. And they want to know, why have you come? Why are you here? We say, we are here because we have been sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to tell you His love and to share His love with you through health care. And wouldn't you love to give your life to Him? And many of them did. And we gave out many, many Bibles. So it was a wonderful, wonderful time. Thanks for praying for all of us and your continued prayers. Let me give you an update just on what's going on. You know, before we left, we did a series on how we change. And you remember this little chart here on how you change? God changes us. We know that for a fact. That's the base. That's the foundation of everything. He gives us His Spirit. But not only does God change us, truth changes us. We take His Word of God. We believe the Word of God. And that Word invested in our life changes us. And then people change you, right? Not just wise people, but sometimes hard people change you. And you'll be in different situations in your life that God has placed you, and He is going to bring change in your life. And then, of course, I talked about the last part of that, and that is how suffering changes us. And nobody likes to talk about that area of suffering in our lives, do we? And little did I know that we were headed for a time of suffering. So if you got your Bible open this morning, I want to talk a little bit about that. And the passage of Scripture I'm going to use is from James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Let me get you up to date. My wife and I were getting ready to leave. We had just gotten in the car. All of our luggage was packed. We had put everything together. We were sitting out in front of our house. I was just getting ready to start the car, and her phone rang. And she answered the phone, and it was a doctor down in Santa Maria. Her case has been referred to a doctor down there. For those of you who don't know, she had a fibroid tumor, and we wanted to get that checked out. And so she did, and they did an x-ray, and they did an MRI. And then they said that we don't have enough information, we need a CT scan. So we did a CT scan, and they'd just gotten the results back. And the doctor, who's been assigned to her case, just got the results back. And he called on the phone, and he said, I have some news to tell you that's hard news, but I want to let you know it looks like you have ovarian cancer. And as he shared that news with us, we were kind of stunned. We thought something was going on. We weren't really absolutely 100% positive. But he said, yes, the CT scan has revealed it. And the doctor is an expert. He's an oncologist. And he is also a gynecologist. And so he sees these things quite often. And he had let us know. He says, this is what it is. And I need to see you tomorrow morning. And we said, well, doctor, we are headed out right now. We are all loaded up. We're in our car. We're going on our way to Ethiopia. And we have been desirous to go on this trip for some time. So is it okay if we come after we get back? And he said, okay, I can understand this trip you planned for and so forth. Go ahead and take your trip. This would be one of those lifetime experiences. So enjoy yourself. I don't think the man's a believer. I don't know. But I said it was a missions trip with His healing hands. And he says, when you get back, see me right away. So we went on our trip, and we came back, and we had an appointment with him. And he has scheduled surgery for her. So my wife is going to go in surgery tomorrow at 2:30 in the afternoon down at Marion Health Center. And what he basically said is he's going to make a small little incision in her and put a camera inside. Isn't that amazing that they could just do things like this? Put a camera in there and look around. And he says if it's pervasive and it's spread everywhere, I will not be able to do anything right then and there. I'll just pull the camera back out, sew you up, and start immediately chemotherapy. And then he said if that it's okay to operate, if the cancer is spread, but I think I can get it all, I'm going to open you up. And it's going to be extensive surgery, 3 to 5 hours in length, and then probably 4 to 6 weeks at home recuperating. And then sometime during that period, we'll start chemotherapy. So those are kind of words that you don't want to hear, cancer. And they're kind of shocking. And so as we sat there in the car just thinking about it, we said, you know, Lord, you obviously planned for us to go on this trip. And if there's anything that I believe in the power of our sovereign God, who is more powerful than cancer. And the truth is that God is Lord over all, and we commit absolutely everything to Him. He has the right to interfere with our life at any place, at any point, at any time. And we will do as Job did, bless Him in the midst of adversity and give thanks for all things, because our God is a great God. But also when we sat there in the car, we thought to ourselves, our trip has kind of changed. We were going to go down there to bless a bunch of people. I was speaking at a leadership conference. And I think now it's going to be the other way around. They're going to go bless us. In fact, I got up and preached, you know, and I preached the message. I thought I did a humdinger, man. I thought I just really, you know, I nailed it right out of the park. And then Sandra got up and she spoke to 3,000 Ethiopians. And then they came up afterwards and they said, well, we can hear you anytime. We want to hear more of her. So I'm a little threatened this morning for job security's sake. But She did say that if God works a miracle in her life and heals her and gets her restored to health, we'll go back down to Dela, and she can do the conference. And I'll watch there and sit and listen to her. So we are so thankful, though, that God allows us to go. We're so blessed. And not only is it the news of our cancer, but also Danny Brooks. Is Danny here in this service this morning? I'm not sure if he is. He may be in the second hour. They just got in on Thursday. As you know, Danny, our missionary to the Philippines, young man, has also been diagnosed with cancer. So we got a lot of prayer to do, church. We got a lot of praying to do. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. So I think that's what we ought to be doing, is praying. We ought to take everything before the Lord, give thanks to all things that He has done for us, and any care, any need that we have, and any sickness that we have, let us lift it before Him with great confidence, knowing He loves us. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. So look at this passage of Scripture. It's in James chapter 5. Immediately I turned here after hearing the prognosis, and it just simply says this: if anyone is among you suffering, let him pray. Any of you going through a difficult time, any of you got some hard road ahead of you, any of you in the midst of it right now, pray. Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if anyone has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working. Amen to that. Elijah, a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it may not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Wow. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Amazing. What a powerful passage of Scripture, but it's a commandment that God gives to us. What is prayer? Someone said prayer is just simply talking to God, and that's true. Talking to God. If you want to look at it theologically, I love a man by the name of John Bunyan, the one who wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Listen to his definition. He wrote this while he was in prison preaching the gospel. He says, prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? For such things as God has promised, or according to the Word of God. So we pray over the Word of God. We pray over the promises of God for the good of the church with submission and faith to the will of God. Amen to that. I love that. James here lists us three types of prayer that we're to be praying for. The first one is prayer for yourself. That's what he's saying in the text. Pray for yourself. Is anyone suffering? Let him pray. It doesn't go into specifics about the suffering, because God knows that we all have different areas in our life in which we're hurting. It could be health. It could be financial. It could be vocational. It could be relational. Whatever the answer or whatever the problem is, He wants us to take it to Him in prayer. In fact, the Christian life is to be bathed in this type of prayer, that we are to always be saying to God, through the power of the Spirit, talking to Him about whatever our concerns are, because God is always listening to us. Then he lists another type of prayer, a prayer that we might say is not just for us, but what we might look of as a group prayer, or praying for each other. And in this verse he says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. This is an envisioning a sickness, an illness that has taken over you. And he says that here's what you ought to do, is to get together. This is the power of God in a small group. This is a power of God where two or three together. This is the power of God. And when others and your friends come and give you prayer and lay their hands on you and lift you up before the Lord. The prayer of a righteous person has great working power. So God says, no matter what the circumstances is, lift it before Him and pray. That's what you're called to do, is lift it up in prayer. And especially if the illness that you have is in relationship to your sin. The Bible recognizes that not all of our sicknesses or illness are relations to sin. I mean, the man who was born blind, it wasn't his parents' fault and it wasn't his sinful fault. The woman that was bent over, it wasn't her fault. It was the fault of the evil one, Satan. Job, who went through a terrible time, it wasn't his fault. But we all know that in Scripture, there can be times when sin has affected us. Paul even says, around the communion table, when you gather together, that some of you are eating and drinking of it in an unworthy manner. And the unworthy manner was is when they had the meal, they were gorging all the food for themselves and leaving just the crumbs for the poor people who came later on. And Paul said that's eating the worthy table in an unworthy manner. And because of that, he says many of you are sick, and he uses the euphemism, many of you are asleep. That is that God has actually taken some of you home to be with him because of your sinfulness. And so we realize that there are times when sin impacts our body. And if that's the case, or if we've injured another person, or if we've wronged that other person, then we are to confess our sin. To go before him, and while we're being prayed for, to ask God for forgiveness. To say, Lord, if there's anything in my life, examine me, take me, look at me. And it isn't talking about perfection, because quite frankly, my friends, none of us are perfect. Every one of us are sinners. So when the fact is, when we pray, we all have confession to do, don't we? And we should never be ashamed of that. Somebody said prayer and confession of the soul is good for the soul. It is. Someone said it's also lousy for the reputation. But I tell you what, I'd rather have a healthy soul than a good reputation, right? I'd rather have God's cleansing power and forgiveness working in my life. And there's a third kind of prayer. Notice this. He says, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. This is a unique prayer. Call for the elders of church. And notice this, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So this is unique prayer. When some of you have sicknesses or illnesses, and perhaps it's inferring here that the sick person is unable to get out of bed, they are so ill, that they would call the elders. But what it is, it's a gathering of the leadership of the church, a gathering of the elders to church, to come together to lay hands on that person, to anoint them with oil. And that oil that they anoint them with is a symbol and a sign of the power of the Holy Spirit. And we lay hands on that person and we pray for that person and we ask God to heal that person. That's what we're called to do as a church. And so I simply want to say this, if any of you have issues in your life that you would like prayer over, and particularly in the area of physical healing, don't be ashamed and don't be embarrassed to come and to ask for prayer. We're going to pray later on in our service today, and we're going to lift up everyone who has cares, concerns, and needs. Anoint you with oil and ask the Lord to heal you. It'll be a powerful time. And God does that. God does bring the miracle of healing. The anointing of oil and the healing that has taken place has been long practiced by the church. The church has done this many, many times. And what I was so excited about going down to Africa and having prayer for my wife is because, you know, down there in Dila, they don't got no one else but God. They don't have health care. They don't have surgery centers. They don't have x-ray machines. They don't have all this technology that we have. And so when you're sick down there, all you got is God. And you're not leaning on doctors. Now, doctors are great. I love the doctors that God has blessed us with. And God uses doctors. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. Go to the doctor if you're sick. But don't skip prayer and don't skip the anointing power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Anointing is a powerful thing. It's a symbol of consecration. In the Old Testament, things were set apart for God. There was an anointing that was placed upon it with oil. It's a picture of His grace. It's an illumination of God where He is saying, "You are set apart unto me." And that is exactly what happened. Whether it was David the king who was anointed, he said he was servant, he anointed him with holy oil, and he was set aside for the ministry of being a king. And when we are anointing someone with oil, we are saying, God, we are setting aside this person, consecrating this person unto you and asking for healing. And that's what we did. We went down to Dile and we asked for prayer. And it's quite something when you're down there, and this is my wife and I down here kneeling, and we're kneeling on the altar that they have there, and 3,000 Ethiopians come forward to pray for you. It is quite an experience. Let me tell you something. They're not only standing over you, they're taking their Bible and they're waving the Bible over you at the same time. And they're praying. And I tell you what, I don't speak Amharic and I don't speak Oromo, but I can pick out a few phrases and words, and I could hear them say, God, we are trusting in you. God, heal our sister. And man, they were crying out unto the Lord. And then we went to the Sandafa church, and they asked for prayer. And they came forward and they laid hands on her. And some of the women that got up and prayed, oh, I tell you what, if I was sick, I would want that woman praying for me. She had a direct connection with God. And she was crying out to the Lord Almighty that He would do His will, that His power and grace and His anointing would be all over her. And so, man, it was an incredible experience. And so, you know, when you walk out of a time like that, you don't really walk, you just kind of float, you know. You just kind of feel like, wow, this is incredible. And they really blessed us and they really prayed for us. And we are so thankful that we went. And so thankful. In fact, Worku got up and he said, I want you to be praying for Sandra. And immediately I heard pages turning. And their little prayer books, 3,000 of these people gathered together in pews, opened their little prayer books, and they wrote down Sandra's name. And they immediately began to pray. We have people praying for her and praying for you and praying for the needs of this church all over the world. Isn't that incredible? We've had communication from people we haven't heard in years who are saying, we're praying for you, we're lifting you up. And that's what God does. God is in the business of healing. God is in the business of answering prayer. In fact, notice what the text says. The prayer of faith shall save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. It's assuming that there is sin in this text, perhaps. And through the confession, it is forgiven. And through that, God will raise that person up through the anointing power of the Spirit of God. So this is something as a church, I want us and our leadership to be in touch with and to be in full swing and operation within our church. And so I want to let you know, church, that often sometimes you go to the hospital, you're sick. Sometimes you have emergencies and you need prayer. Please contact the church. Let Janine Kramer know on the prayer chain. And then we know. And when we know, call us. Don't be afraid to call us. You say, oh, Pastor, you're so busy. Well, yeah, I'm busy. But so what? This is my calling. It's my job. It's what God's given me to do. It's my delight to do this. This is what He's called us to do. And if I can't be there, we'll get some elders there. We'll get some leadership there to anoint you with oil and to pray over you. So don't hesitate. Don't be afraid. Do what the Word of God says. Well, you say, Pastor Mike, then, are you guaranteeing that there is going to be prayer? There's going to be a healing, right? Because when you look at this passage of Scripture, isn't that exactly what it says? The prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. What do you do when the person that you're praying for doesn't get healed? Oh, is this passage of Scripture really, really accurate? Because what happens when you don't get healed? What is this prayer of faith that he's talking about here? Why don't you think with me for just a minute in the New Testament? I want you to understand that there are plenty of times that people were prayed for and they didn't get healed. Erastus remained at Corinth, Paul says, and I left Trophimus, who was ill at Miletus. He had to leave him behind because he was ill and the illness had to run its course before he was delivered. But that doesn't mean they didn't pray for him. That doesn't mean that God sometimes uses a method of a long, protracted illness for His glory and ultimately your health. God can do it however He pleases to do it. Or Epaphroditus was ill, near the point of death, Paul says. But notice this, God had mercy on him. Sometimes the healing comes instantaneously. Sometimes it's a protracted illness over time. And sometimes it's God's will that He takes you home. God can do whatever He chooses to do. Remember the Apostle Paul, the great man of God that he was? If the thorn that he had in the flesh was some type of an affliction that he was dealing with or an illness, he prayed for it 3 times. But as he learned in his life that what was important for him was not the healing, but the understanding that the grace of God will sustain us. That sometimes God chooses not to heal so that we can continually be reliant upon Him for all things. And I tell you what, when you are facing serious and difficult road ahead of you, the good thing about not being healed is it forces you to be utterly dependent upon Him for everything. I mean, talk about being in a place where if God doesn't move, you could lose your life. That's a place to be because you're ever dependent upon Him for every moment, for every breath, for everything that takes place. And when you're in that kind of a position, watch the power of God move alive in you. Watch the strength that you have. I tell you what, I don't know how people do this. without God in their life. I have no idea how people get through grief without Christ. I have no idea how anybody with any kind of a sickness at all who is facing difficulty goes anywhere in life without the Lord Jesus Christ. I need Him every step of the way. And if He wants to place me in a position of continual submission unto Him, where I'm reminded of His grace every day, praise God. Power be to Him. He is the one who does all things for His name and His glory. Well, is that what's saying in this passage of Scripture, that it's a guarantee? No. Notice what He says. He says it's the prayer of faith. In other words, it's a prayer offered in faith. In faith. And I want you to look at a few passages of Scripture with me. I'm going to give them to you quickly if you want to write them down. But here's what the Word of God says about prayer. He says this in Matthew. Again, I tell you, if two or three on this earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where there are two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. That's not only in the context of discipline, but it's also in the context of crying out to God. John's Gospel, he says, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. This is what Jesus says. I'll do it. Then he says in John's Gospel, you did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Luke's Gospel says this, or 1 John. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have a confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and do what He pleases. Later on in John, he also says this. This is the assurance that we have in approaching God, that we have anything, if we ask anything, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So are you saying that's an absolute guarantee? Well, if you look at every one of these passages of Scripture, they all follow the little phrase, in His name. You ask in His name. Does that mean that when you pray, you say in Jesus' name? Yes, that means that, but it means more than that. And John here helps us understand, if you ask anything, according to what? His will. In other words, when I'm praying, it isn't a guarantee that God is going to miraculously heal the person. But it is a guarantee that He is going to hear the prayer. And it's a guarantee that He's going to exercise His will in the life of that person that you're praying for. He is saying, you come to me, you pray unto me, you lift my name up, and you call upon me, and I will do as I please according to my will. And so what prayer is a dependence upon God. It's coming before Him and saying, Lord, we're not looking for some guarantee here. We're asking you to heal. This is what we want. But if you have another plan, that's okay. We're submitting ourselves to your plan. You are a sovereign God who loves us. And you will do as you please according to your will. Amen? Never be afraid to ask Him. And then listen to what James says. It just kind of blows my mind. He says this. Therefore, confess your sins one to another. A time of prayer, a time of healing, a time of reaching out. And then he gives an illustration. A man like Elijah, nature like ours, prayed fervently that it may not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. You know, you look at that passage of Scripture, and you look at Elijah praying, a man of God praying. And you look at all the miracles that happened in his life. His war against Ahab and Jezebel and the prophets of Baal. Him raising the dead, multiplying the widow's meal and oil. Receiving food from the beaks of ravens. And then as he ends his life, can you imagine this? Vanishing from the earth on a chariot of fire. Wouldn't that be awesome? He was a prophet who didn't see death, but God came down and picked him up in a chariot of fire and took him to be with glory. That's how I want to go. I don't know if he has that, but if he doesn't have a chariot, I'd take a nice Corvette in fire and just take me to heaven. Any way you want to do it, Lord, I'm happy to go. But what I love about this passage of Scripture is he says this. Everybody knows who Elijah is. Everybody knows he's a great man of God, but he says this. This is what's incredible. He's a man with a nature like ours. He's a sinner. He's a sinner who's been saved by grace. We tend to put people like up on a platform. We say, wow, you're so spiritual. You're so powerful. Oh my gosh, God's going to do everything for you because you're so holy. remember this. He was a man who wasn't any different than you or me. And God used him mightily. And God will use your prayers as well. And so, church, what I say is pray. All the time prayer. Be in prayer. We have a lot of needs in our family. We have Yasmin who constantly needs prayer for her and her young son. We have Danny. We need to be praying for him as he faces cancer. Ricky Bowles, who has just lost JJ, we need to lift her up in prayer. As I just go down the list, I think of so many. Dodie Stroud, continually lifting her in prayer. Sierra Perez texted me yesterday, said her dad was very close to going into glory. He was on his deathbed. We need to lift them up in prayer. Countless prayer requests before us. So instead of talking about it this morning, how about if we pray about it this morning? Can we do that? I'm going to ask if any of you would like prayer, and our elders and some of our leaders to come on up. If you would, we're going to pray for you right now today. Why not? Our house is a house of prayer. That's what Christ said. I'm going to ask my wife to come. Sandra, come on down here. I'm going to lift her up in prayer. So you come.